Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. About midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I couldn't pick a better place than to be here with you on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. Steve Rummage is on vacation. Nikki Valvano's in the booth. Are we going to get Steve? Is the question. The crowd is chanting. Are we going to get Steve?
I think so.
There you go.
So you got me. Okay.
We do.
All right. Yeah. Well, I said, look, I'm taking care of a little business, and hopefully the service holds up. So we'll see how it goes.
So, Steve Rummage, listen, everybody's going to ask me, and I'm going to let you speak for yourself. Is this technically a vacation? Is this like a mental health day? I mean, what are we describing your absence from the studio as?
Is the McRib back?
A little bit of all three, and some business. So, a little bit of everything, man.
Okay, so business trip / potted and Steve Rummage. It could not miss this show because of course some of the topics that we're going to discuss. Nick Booth ready to keep this train on the track. So Steve, here's the thing. On this Tuesday, we are supposed to, I guess, be in an original type of show. But on days like this, it's kind of different to be original the entire show because everybody has certain information that we have to discuss. I mean, the people listening, you know, they want to hear our perspective on it. Like I said, they want to hear a different perspective, a usually different perspective. So this is what we're going to do, people. I'm just going to open up the phone lines right off the bat. 8150-93.9. What are your feelings on the Louisville response to the notice of allegations? I have read the entire Louisville response to the notice of allegations. It wasn't worth it, people. I'm sure you've heard the interpretation of people who have read. If you have heard the interpretations, what do you think about them? What's the vibe you get? Like I said, I think it was about 104 or 105 pages, and I think that really could have been about 30. And it's not like the longest reading pages either. Listen, I'm one of those people who likes books where, like, I can do a lot more pages. Just give me less words per page, and it won't feel as bad. I feel like I'm flying through the book. But no response to the notice of allegations comes out yesterday. You've had a little bit of time to digest it. Steve Rummage, how do you feel Like I said, I hate that we do this every show, but we got to do this with every subject. Kind of big picture, emotionally, moving forward. What do you think the odds are? Kind of get that ball rolling on how you feel.
Well, I think it was a really good response. I mean, that first and foremost, I thought they did a great job.
What qualifies as a good response and a bad response?
Maybe the just the did they convince me when I was reading it?
Mm.
You know, I mean, I know that's kind of a generic answer, but I read it and it convinced me. You know what I mean? Like that, I'm like, okay, yeah. And what they were fighting against. You know, I think a lot of times we talk on this thing about, are they trying things taken away? I was wondering, what was Louisville's end game to all this?
Mm-hmm.
And you learned the end game was to get it knocked down to a level two. So that was kind of new information to me, you know, like, okay, the fight here isn't so much to say, hey, nothing happened, we should get off free, nothing here. That felt like a long shot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Getting it knocked to a level two doesn't feel like a long shot to me.
Let me ask you this, because here's the thing. In negotiations, you and I kind of laugh about this, you know, a lot more than we used to. But when you talk about asking for more than you think you'll get, do you think the University of Louisville, in their response with this notice of with the response to the notice of allegations, do you think they sold themselves short, like didn't try to overreach to get it knocked down even further? Or do you think they played their hand right? Because here's the thing. If you meet in the middle, it's still maybe you don't get as much movement on the response from the NCAA because you didn't kind of go harder, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense too. But I mean, I didn't catch that vibe. I thought U of L, again, did a good job at saying, hey, okay, if you want to say there were level two things, because they did a good job at even the stuff, you know, like, okay, well, if you want to say there's level two, and yes, they may have taken Dawkins, from the airport to the university. Okay, look, we'll eat that. Like, yeah, absolutely. And let me be clear with people, too, just so people listen. There is a major difference in a level two and a level one. I mean, a major, major difference. Like, a level two, Louisville's not getting any postseason ban. Like, I mean, they're not getting anything of the sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when people are listening, they hear us say level one and level two, you know, what's the difference there? But, no, I thought Louisville did a good job at not really selling themselves short. And by saying, yeah, okay, these are the things we know, but the things that we – and do you notice – and I know I'm getting a little bit in the nuts and bolts of it here, and I don't want to jump ahead of you. But, I mean, even with the Kenny Johnson, the different stuff, the alleged $1,300 payment, there wasn't there's not enough evidence to support that. It was very strong. We don't believe that happened.
Right.
Like, they were – listen, I'm reading it, and I told myself a couple times, I said – well, I see why Carolina hired these guys. I mean, because they were it was a great response. It was a response that, honestly, if you're a Louisville fan today, I mean, you have some hope in that situation. And that's something I think we were kind of losing over the time. But you have at least the assurance of knowing the university has put every foot forward. And if you get it, you know, if the NCAA does what they do now, I heard Drew Diener saying that this morning, that, you know, does the NCAA need evidence? Well, maybe not. Maybe not, right. You know, but you know that they did that.
We'll get to that part of it. Like, what are the requirements? What do you feel like the requirements are? Just to kind of give you the same answer or the same response to what you just talked
about. Did you really read the whole thing?
I did, Steve.
104 pages.
Listen, I'm telling you, when you're doing it with the scroll bar, it's so easy. A mouse and a scroll, you can just shoot on that. It's not like when they print it out and you actually have to flip pages. Your fingers just, you know, just scrolling. And there's some charts and grids that are kind of like easily, you know, identifiable. So yeah, but here's the point I was making. I'm glad you asked me that, Steve, because that is going to take me right into what I was going to say. You know what a good response is? And I feel like we shouldn't even be judging good responses from bad responses. But now after this one, I feel like I know the difference between a good response and a bad response. And you know what it is, Steve?
I'm listening.
The fact that I could sit there and read through the entire 104. You know what that told you, Steve?
That's a good point.
That meant it was easy to read. It was easy to understand. It was laid out step by step. What are these accusations? Bam, you're telling us we did this. Clearly labeled. No, our contention is it's not a lot of, like I said, these things are normally jam-packed with legalese. You know, they're jam-packed with section bylaw 14261. You know,
they're near impossible for someone like us three. It really is. Sometimes they're near impossible for us three. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're saying.
You mean us like the people. Like, don't just drag me there. Look, I agree with you, but I don't like how you just drag me into that one.
No, I didn't mean me in particular. I
the people.
If you're not a lawyer.
Right.
Sometimes those can be near impossible. Yeah, no, look, I understand that you can interpret hieroglyphics. Okay, look, I'm giving you your credit there.
Listen, no, but here's the thing. Like, it lays out right at the beginning. Okay, this is bylaw 122632, and this is what, you know, the definition of it is. Here is, okay, at no place in this interaction between Kenny Johnson and him did he violate this bylaw that you're accusing us of. Furthermore, we have examples of the let's say, Georgia Tech, Brigham Young, Notre Dame. We have all examples where this exact same thing happened. You know,
we have the
case. We have when this happened. And here's the thing. You gave them a level 3 here. You gave them a level 2 here. You gave them, like, they have the examples. I was laughing because I was going to actually call you and say, boy, there's a whole lot of dry snitching going on in this thing, too.
They really listen, but that, I mean, that in a real case, though.
Yes.
I mean, look, that is the quote. If you'll let me use the playbook, I mean, is look, here
right.
is where okay, look, no, you can't take me to jail because you got exhibit A, B, and C over here, you know, and what's the system?
No, listen, and here's the thing. That's why I kept reading, because once I saw, like, other schools' names being pointed out in their cases, I was actually, like, giggling, laughing as I was reading it. So it made for some really fun reading. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's especially, okay, what would have stopped me from reading is the point where something happened where it was just like, yeah, you're just lying. If I saw something that just had Kenny Johnson or Jordan Fair, and I couldn't, because you know what I always do, I always put athlete shoes. I put myself in the coach's shoes. You know, the reason I'm not hypercritical on establishments a lot is because I put myself in the ownership shoes. I put myself in the athlete shoes. You know, to find empathy, and that's why I'm not, you know, outraged by a lot of things. Okay, so I'm putting myself empathetically in Rick Pitino's shoes and Jordan Fair's shoes. There was something in the Kenny Johnson that just made me just smile, right? And it was just
right.
it was the most natural documented response of Kenny Johnson being questioned about, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, you know, being asked about money, right? And just
right.
The reading about being asked about money and just the recollection and the documentation of him just going so far as to say, man, if I gave you $1,300 and put my family's money at risk, my wife would kill me.
Right.
Like, dude, like, I mean, it was so descriptive. It was so declarative. It was so vivid. That's what it was. It was vivid. Like, you and I talked about it. How much did Kenny Johnson make? How much does he make a year being the associate head coach of the University of Louisville? Right?
I mean, it was, yeah, because you remember, I mean, Kenny Johnson got a pay raise, you know, and stuff. I mean, I'm not necessarily going down that road, but I mean, he was the associate head coach.
Right.
I mean, we had conversations on this show about Rick, Coach Pitino, serving a suspension, and we were saying, if Kenny Johnson does a good job,
yes,
maybe that's the you tag him coach in waiting. I mean, listen, yeah, those were conversations that were happening.
Those were the things that were keeping him. He's right at the – listen, he was knocking on the door of being the University of Louisville head basketball coach. This guy comes along with a late recruitment. They even described people about how agitated he was, Kenny Johnson already was from the time they got here, right? Just the, dude, you're not allowed to be, you know, like I know you want to come watch your kid work out, but this is not, like, your kid is not our individual pet project, right? So when you get to listen, I think coaches, local coaches, should read the Kenny Johnson part of the response. Read how Kenny Johnson is dealing with these helicopter dads and helicopter moms and helicopter families. And you can like, he's explaining how turned off he's getting. That he explained, like, they explain him calling Christian Dawkins, like, dude, like, what, you know, what's up with your people? And Christian Dawkins just saying, yeah, they're just those type, you know what I'm saying? They're just going to be in your ear the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of that, like parents overstepping their boundaries at every place, like their kid is the only kid at this university. It leads up to the alleged ask for money, you know? And then it was fun to read the university's response of saying, do y'all realize this guy testified or gave a statement to the FBI or whatever and said,
this part is something me and you harped on very, very hard on this show when it was happening in real time. Yes. I just want to remind that. Yeah.
Yes. And this, the scheme confirmed it again. Okay. Like the lead up of what I was saying is the lead up of, yo, this dude is getting on my nerves, man. Like, he's calling about nutritionists every day. And like, this is not your personal, you know, get to the league program, bro. Like, we don't, it doesn't work like that. So now you lead up to, you know, these meetings are around the time when there was alleged money exchange, you know what I'm saying? And then you, like I said, you see the text message, you see the cool, here's the nutritionist number, here's her name, you know what I'm saying? You call her yourself. Boom. You know, we meet up, you know, whatever, you know, like, you got the Christian Dawkins. Hey, man, what's up with your dude? Did you make him think that there was some deal going on with me or the university? If so, here he is right now. You need to clear it up right now. Boom. Pass the phone to the dad. He talking to Christian Dawkins. Christian Dawkins is saying, okay, we're going to take care of you. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. So now, but here's the thing. Now you go to the FBI. Or now when the FBI stuff happens, you didn't go to FBI, but the FBI stuff happens and these investigations happen. Did you get any money from Louisville? No, I didn't get any money from Louisville, blah, blah, blah. Okay, a week later, yeah, we want to follow up on that interview. We want to clarify some things, blah, 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 you know. Blah. So you didn't get anything from Louisville, any kind of money? No, I didn't get any kind of money from Louisville. You know, this is the only thing I've been doing, blah, 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 blah. Now, trial comes however many months later, 6 months later, 8 months later. Yeah, that yep, Louisville. They gave me $1,200 right in the parking lot. Okay, well, what happened when, you know, yeah, I don't remember the rest of it.
Wait, yeah.
Why didn't you talk about this the first time? I didn't know when, and I forgot. I forgot that they gave me the money to pay my rent to actually keep me from being evicted. But I forgot that part, though, you know. So then Louisville says, we have listed out ample inconsistencies to this story. Kenny Johnson's bank account records, his phone records, his interviews, his multiple interviews have all lined up 100% with what's factual. What he stated from the beginning, what Rick Pitino has stated. Listen, that's 15 pages of, now that we got that out the way. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Let's move on to the next one.
Let me pause right there just for a second, because not being a lawyer and just, you know, and admittedly looking at, okay, what's Louisville's best angle here?
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to read that part, because that's the part from the beginning I thought was maybe not Louisville's best argument, because I'm sure you'll get into the Adidas and how they represent. And that's probably the best argument. But the best evidence I think they had was Brian Bowen Sr. Was Brian Bowen Sr.'s inconsistencies. Was Brian Bowen Sr. saying, no, and listen, and those are a couple things we learned that we didn't know before. We didn't know as much that he had said no twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something we learned. What we did know was that he on the stand said, I asked for $1,300 in the parking lot for rent, and Kenny Johnson said, we don't do that stuff here. Well, now the text, but now, you know, of course he said, but I talked him into it. Kenny Johnson helped give me $1,300. Well, now that part, the only argument there was me being a Louisville fan going, see, I mean, Kenny Johnson said, you know, hey, there's no proof.
Right.
Well, now if there is actual documented proof that, hey, this dude was bugging the crap out of him, Kenny Johnson had addressed him multiple times, the guy had said Kenny Johnson didn't pay him multiple times, well, all of a sudden now, that story feels like it's corroborated a little bit with, okay, now I do see Kenny Johnson saying, dude, how many times do I got to tell you, we don't do that here. I don't know what
my wife would kill me. My wife would kill me. I'm almost the head coach. My wife would kill me. I have two teenage sons that are about to be basketball players. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do, I don't know if I brought that together right, but I mean, do you get what I'm saying? Where it's
yes.
Like, okay, now that story makes a lot of sense now. Now I do actually think I believe. And when I say I mean, Steve Rummage, who wants the University of Louisville to be off, but I mean, even me, I'm like, well, you know, in a quiet room, I was like, I mean, he probably gave him the $1,300. You know, like, I mean, I'm just being honest, you know, like,
right.
He probably gave him the $1,300 and was like, dude, this is it. This is it. You know, stop bothering me. But now I think I may actually believe when I hear how much he was annoying Kenny Johnson, and I hear how much, and I'm like, I believe that.
Listen, and like Rick says, if you cave in to an annoying guy and give him $1,300 to shut him up, guess what? Not only does he own you, he's coming back next month, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Because you have to pay him now. Because he's going to say, well, you know, maybe I'll make a phone call.
Listen, the running joke me and you have always made is that Rick, as far as Coach Pitino has gone, we think the heat came on him for saying,
once you get somebody on you.
Sure.
We think his attitude like that has brought the heat on him.
For the
latter part of his career.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay, I just wanted to pause because I thought that Brian Bowen Sr. thing is a major deal in going forward with this. I wanted to make sure we just gave a little extra time to that. But I didn't mean to interrupt. You were doing a great job.
And here's the thing. I didn't mean to purposely go Kenny Johnson, but I like how they basically crushed. You know how, like, you see in those court cases where where the judge just goes, okay, you made your point on this one, and then you get the guy, the prosecutor or whatever, that just wants to keep going. Just no, I still got 10 more.
Oh, I got more.
Yeah, right. And it's like, listen, dude, like, okay, you won this part. You know, you won this round.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Jordan Fair part of this thing. You know what I'm saying? And you're like,
yep.
Huh? I thought you'd never ask. Right?
Yeah.
And then you go Jordan Fair. And again, okay. I'm like you. I'm looking for the they got you dead to rights first, and then I kind of walk it back. Put it this way. The harshest stuff, you know, that can kill you, those are the big threats. You know what I'm saying? But you know everything's a threat. Let's call the number one allegation, the number one allegation is the biggest threat. You know, being in the room is threat, you know, number two, and so forth. You know, you kind of lighten it down. Being at the hotel might have been a violation. You know, we'll walk it backwards, right?
Sure. And Marcus, real quick, I wanted to tell Nikki V, I mean, by all means, if you have anything,
we'll
jump in here. We're three different people at three different spots doing the show. And also, I don't know if we have access to the text line back at the studio, but if anything on there is needs to be brought forth, I mean, feel free, Nick, to do that. So,
all right, you got it. I'll pull up the text as soon as I can.
Yeah,
or you can tweet at us. You can, like, listen. We're all
Fan Outfit is Twitter feed. You know,
yeah, just like, come on, y'all.
We can put up a poll too. Get the feeling of the people. I guess. Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I haven't read all 104 pages. I really did want to sit down at some point and just I don't know what's been going on. I think I've had a stomach bug, so I've. You know,
easy reading.
Yeah. I think, like, it would be great. Make some. Yeah, like you said, like, you just scroll through it. I mean, I knocked out just skimmed it like five pages yesterday, just when it first broke, and then when Jeff Greer brought it up. Jeff also had a weird flex yesterday when he was filling in with Nick Curran on the V Show yesterday. He basically was like, "Yeah, if I was still at the CJ, this would have broken like last week." I was like, "Damn, Jeff!" Like, I was like. Feel yourself.
That's awesome.
He just mentioned that right before he started reading it. But so yeah, I haven't read it yet. I do actually want to, believe it or not, because I've heard the 104 pages go by pretty quick. I guess just from the headlines and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems kind of it seems kind of interesting the stance U of L is taking, but I don't think it's necessarily a wrong stance. Like, occasionally, I think optically.
Did you expect something different?
No, not really. I mean, I don't really know exactly what I expected, because I'm a little, it seems like, even though it was just, in March, I guess,
Right.
When the notice of allegations dropped, it seems like, decades ago. So I need to kind of, refresh myself on all the names and everything. But, I mean, just optically, there seems to be, a lot of defense, universities will come out. And sometimes their defense range is from we're gonna lawyer up in every which way and just nuh-uh, just something like a little kid argument. And this actually seemed like pretty, and from what I can garner so far, and keep in mind Louisville has a terrible public image around the country, like terrible. So people are looking at Louisville in the same way that we might be looking at, like an LSU or North Carolina, like, oh, what did these MFers do again? And from what I've seen so far, that it doesn't seem like, an unreasonable counter argument. It seems like a lot of people, national media, and I'm sure, you can say that all these people have their, put their own spin on it. And a lot of them, I'm sure do. It seems like everyone's been like, yeah, okay, that's a pretty sound, sound argument you guys are making, good luck. So, for what that's worth, people that know way more about this than I do, legalese, Even though I think everyone here, you know, in the 502 in Jefferson County can kind of speak broken legalese because of the past couple of years. I think, right. You know, they got a sound argument, but that's just me looking at it from, you know, 500 yards or whatever.
Right. Listen, that's definitely a quick view, and nobody holds you accountable. Like, it's documented historical record if you have, you know, an early opinion on the response to the notice of allegations. But yeah, when you like I said, if you're the judge, if you're a prosecutor, if you're a defense attorney, and then you start going into the Jordan Farris situation again, this is what made me feel like I could read the entire thing, because it painted a picture of the situation. It lined up. Okay, I got to catch a flight in an hour. You know what I'm saying? Or I got to leave this. Yep. I got to be out of this place in an hour, you know, whatever. But I'm near your hotel. I can come by. You know, let's meet in the lobby. Oh, no, you know, come upstairs to the room. Jordan Fair, he describes it. He comes up. These guys are at the elevator. Who's, you know, I know you, Christian. Who's this guy? Oh, this is just my friend.
Yeah.
Come to the room. Okay, Jordan Fair says, I'm already, my antennas are up because I'm like, what's going on here, you know?
And Marcus.
Go ahead.
Let me throw this in, too. Jordan Fair is not a very large guy in stature. Like, and I know some people may roll their eyes at that, but I think you'll get where I'm coming from with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily a guy that's going to be comfortable.
And he's young.
He was really – Marcus, you sat right next to him in Indianapolis and was like, I don't know, I guess the GA, I don't – like, I don't know,
right.
Who's this guy talking to Rick? I was like, how in the heck is he? You know, like, God.
Yeah, it's like Ryan McMahon getting off the elevator and thick Christian Dawkins sitting there like, no, just come into the room, homie.
Yeah, and Ryan McMahon would be pissed if you compared his physique to Jordan Fair.
I know. You're right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But I was just making the point, though, to set the stage that you see him. Like, he's not – I'm telling you, he's not comfortable in this situation. I don't care what anybody says.
Right. Right. No.
He's not going to be comfortable in this situation.
Here's the thing, too. And the picture I was thinking is Ryan McMahon on a basketball court, because around normal people, Ryan McMahon's a good sized dude.
He's a pretty good sized dude, yeah.
Okay. So he actually goes through it step for step. And think about it. This is not just his version of the story. This is Christian Dawkins' version of the story. This is everybody's same version of the story. Look. Come to the room. He says, my antenna's up, so you know what's going on. So he sits down in his room. There's an envelope on the table, and he's like, now what are we doing here? And who's this guy, right? Only to find out that this third guy over there in the corner is the guy who's facing the guy who said Jordan Fair was 100% down with everything. It's the same guy. I mean, we heard this on the scheme. You know, it's corroborated story. This is the same guy that's facing all kind of government SEC charges and fraud.
Oh, yeah.
Charges and, yeah, this guy's facing all kind of crap. So, it's a vivid description of, I see this envelope on the table. Something's not right. I'm listening to these guys talk about paying some kid, you know, at Adidas, or paying some kid through Gasnola and some other guys. So I listen to this and I say, dude, I don't know what y'all doing, but I don't want any part of it, and I don't want my name on it, right? And then says,
yeah,
well, whatever you doing, y'all need to keep that on the low. We already in enough trouble, right? Like, I could literally see myself sitting in there like, I really don't know what to do with this information. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm out. And he leaves. He gets up and goes.
Yeah.
No money's exchanged. I didn't take no. All I heard, I listened to a story. Right? I literally came in here and listened to a story. I don't know if it's true. Listen, it already looks like a movie to me when I came in here in this big million-dollar suite penthouse. So this thing was funny anyway. So I don't know if they were trying to shoot a film, or I don't know if they were if Christian Dawkins was trying to do, you know, run some hustle on them. But listen, I really don't know what y'all doing, but I'm gonna get out of here.
And Marcus, take it another step. They're talking to me about 7-foot European kid. Like, that's what this meeting is about. Like, you know, it's like that.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, why am I even here? Like, what, like, are you trying to show me that y'all got a kid in y'all pocket? Like, I really don't know what this is. And again, Jordan Fair, new coach, AAU circuit guy. I could see myself listening. And listen, I've told the story before, Steve, just the real quick version of this, where my empathy comes in at. That those kids from across the street in my neighborhood in Clarksville, Tennessee, when they came over, you know, just like some neighborhood kids, you know, just, I'm the OG just sitting over there, right? And
right.
These kids were talking about trapping a kid so they could beat him up, right? They were literally talking about, I think they were going to do a little more than beat him up, but you get my point.
Right, right.
Yeah, I ain't no snitch. But here's the thing.
But I'm taking everything you have, too. If I'm trapping you and beat you up, I'm taking your money, too.
Like, listen, whatever they were planning, they were sitting there in my front porch, and I'm just like, y'all little dudes is wild, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, they're kids, but I'm like, y'all some little off the chain. I knew them since they was babies almost, but it's like, and so then I saw the guy like draw a line in the sand with a stick, and I'm like, y'all get out of my yard, get off my porch. Because when y'all get caught doing whatever stupid stuff y'all about to do, y'all going to be describing you drawing up a playbook in the sand or in the front of my yard. Get out of here. And you know, go home. Actually, I'm calling y'all moms. I'm about to call y'all moms and y'all dads. Because this y'all shouldn't be doing this. But, yeah, my point is, I listened because I'm like, what y'all little wild dudes into? Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Jordan Fair leaves that like, man, these dudes is off the chain. If Coach Pitino, if I even tell him, and he's going to say, well, why'd you even go into the room? I don't know, Rick. I mean, you said Christian Dawkins is, you know, these Adidas guys. And, you know, I just thought I need to go hear what they had to say. Wait a minute. So they called you and said, could you come by here for 20 minutes? And you went, you know, something like. And I could see in Jordan Fair's brain, it's reasonable to make that stop. But I could see in Rick Pitino's brain saying, are you the stupidest coach on the planet? Like, do you know what kind of trouble we're in right now? You know, or not what kind of trouble. You know what they're trying to pin on us right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do anything. You can't go into that room. You can't go into a room. You can't go into a hotel room with Christian Dawkins and Blazer or whoever this guy is.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you ain't allowed in Vegas no more.
Yeah.
Like, that's how that conversation would have went. Right?
That would have been a very easy version of how that conversation would have went.
Right. Right. So like I said, I'm reading this stuff like a great book, and the book gets even better. But we got to take a quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Babin on 939 The Ville.
Sports Center update.
Good morning. I'm Nick Velvet on the Sports Center update, brought by Coil Auto Group. Save $1,000 off your next Chevrolet. Mention Coil 75 and purchase at coildeals.com. U of L yesterday making public their 104-page response to the NCAA's NOA, a major point of contention. U of L challenging, quote, the erroneous contention that conspirators in the Adidas pay-for-play scandal were representatives for U of L's athletic interests while being charged with defrauding and concealing the school. ESPN Louisville will keep you up to date on this ongoing story. Football, Scott Satterfield met the media yesterday this weekend after the loss to number 12 Miami over the weekend. He said that the matchup with number 21 Pittsburgh this week requires better QB play.
We expect them to make every play. We have high expectations for quarterback position. And, you know, if you just on the surface looked at the stats, you're like, oh, wow, the quarterback had a solid game. Well, but he missed several plays out there, and we got to do better.
Kickoff noon Saturday can be seen on the ACC Network. More Maven and Rubbish next. This is SportsCenter.
When you are buying or selling a home, you have a ton of questions that need to be answered. Well, what if I could answer those questions with three simple words? Call Josh Jarboe. Josh specializes in residential real estate, getting buyers the home of their dreams and sellers top dollar for their home with the best negotiating skills in the industry. And if you tell him you heard about him right here, you'll receive up to a $5,000 seller's credit. So contact Josh Jarboe today at 502-216-7590 or Josh Jarboe at remax.net.
Listening to Middays with Marcus Maven, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, right now, we're rolling along. Temperature control is one of the greatest luxuries one can have. If you agree with this sentiment, DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Look into that Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard-to-heat, hard-to-cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Do you remember, Steve, that when the NCAA started changing kind of some of their, or not necessarily changing, but when they started talking about this new independent review panel, they threw in things like, yeah, we can use anything that comes out of the FBI investigation, and we were like, uh-oh, they're just going to be pulling and picking and plucking what they want to use. Aren't you glad that they say they could use that stuff now when you hear the details of the case and everything that's been coming out as far as Louisville's involvement versus LSU's and Arizona's? Like, in retrospect, are you glad that the NCAA said, yeah, we can just use all that stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that turned, because that was my biggest worry, was that, hey, they're going to be able to come in here now and anything that's said, they're going to be able to take as the gospel. But now it's like that Brian Bowen Sr. testimony,
yes,
and the different things may end up being the one of the largest, you know, things
saving
that
grace
for us. Yeah.
No, yeah, no, 100%. Oh, okay, so kind of picking up, again, I probably went a little too nerdy, too detailed in the Jordan Fair. I felt like I was trying to paint the picture of, you know, of what I would feel going into that situation, or someone would feel. That was the humanizing side of it, right? But if you get into the technically, right? I am okay, and this goes back to your original point. You are okay with them saying, yes, Jordan Fair's institutional responsibility is to report everything he heard in that meeting. Now, the human person says, I can see how he can, you know, he already knew he screwed up, how he could not tell. But I can be the legal guy that says, no, it's your duty to the university and to the NCAA to report everything you hear. So when I see them say, Jordan says, yes, he agrees that he should have said it immediately. He agrees that is, look, under oath, that was the worst mistake of his life, is not coming back and telling that thing, right? And,
right.
And when you read it, you're like, yeah, you screwed up. And listen to all the, you know, people who just, oh, well, you know, if you're talking about jobs and firings, it's like, yes, that is a fireable offense in hindsight. Cool. University of Louisville says, yes, that's a level 3 or a level 2. Cool. We'll, you know, we'll take it. You know what I'm saying? But let's just acknowledge that all this story from every perspective has been 100% consistent. And what we will make sure 100% that is acknowledged is, in the legal sense, if I don't know about this, if this meeting isn't pre-planned, if any discussions aren't made ahead of time, if there was no interaction that said I would know anything other than I show up in this hotel and I hear some stuff, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, it's my university duty to report it, but I am in no way in concert with this group. I am no way in concert with Dawkins, who's working with Gasanola, who's working for Adidas or whatever. I am in no way in concert. So once we establish that clear, then there is no way this can stick as a level one conversation. Once we acknowledge that, then I'll play any game you want. You know what I'm saying? I'll play any game you want. Once we acknowledge, because here's the thing. That's going to be my lead way, or that's going to be that. That is by far the smoking gun to the Adidas is a booster. So we're gonna cut that. We're gonna cut that cord. Even no matter how thin and skinny and puny that attachment is, we're gonna make sure we take an axe to that piece of yarn and make sure we know we're not in concert. Once we aren't in concert, then you start having the Adidas. No, this is why my lack of being in concert with these group of guys is why in the Southern District, you know, court, we were defrauded. We were defrauded. Not the other way around. We weren't in concert. So yeah, once you start, like, it's like the house of cards. Once you pull that cord out, the whole house of cards falls down as far as like liability, if that makes sense. You know,
sure,
like my true responsibility. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I thought U of L did a great job at, was they pulled the perfect Jenga, if you'll let me, Jenga pieces.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it was they hit right where they needed to hit, and really, like you're saying, took out the arguments that would give legs to the other arguments. And it was big. And that's, again, going back to the beginning of the show, you said, what makes a good response? I mean, to me, that makes a good response. And that's what they did.
Like the Adidas discussion also, once you went from the Jordan Fair to the Adidas transition, I'm not going through it chronologically. Like, I don't think that it was listed like this, but once you start going into the Adidas University of Louisville, basically, and I did find there may have been a couple of bitey words in there, Steve. I'm paraphrasing people, but you'll get the point. The assertion that would make Adidas a booster of the University of Louisville is asinine.
Yeah.
Like, imagine reading a legal document and you just reading words like that, and you're just like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Somebody reading that is going to be like, somebody at the NCAA is not going to like that language. But it's just kind of funny, and it's very direct. And it's truthful. Yeah, because basically you're saying your accusation is challenging the fabric of every, not only apparel deal, every sports sponsorship, every sponsorship that universities have with anybody, right? And then look,
right.
Speaking of dry snitching, why did the University of Louisville say, that's like saying the Kroger deal with Kentucky by sponsoring their stadium? I started reading that and I'm like, no, y'all didn't.
Look, I did find that funny that was one of the things that they made sure to highlight.
You're right. So you're telling me if somebody at Kroger gets a discount, you know, here, then Kroger, they talked about the UK alumni board being sponsored by somebody, you know, does that make, you know, Kroger, who sponsors the alumni board, does that make them official, you know, partner of the university, you know? And they just, like,
yeah,
they just kind of, like, pointed it out, and they pointed out, like, a whole bunch of cases. So it wasn't just Kentucky and Kroger. But you get the point. They're just making the point. Like, you're fundamentally attacking the entire structure of a sponsorship. So they go through the definitions of the agreement. They go through, no, we advertise for them through our wearing of their clothes. So anyway, they break that down really good. This is the relationship between sponsor and university. So like, what you're chasing the wrong stick by saying they were acting as our, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can have mutual benefits in a sponsorship deal. And what you do to improve your company and what I do to improve my company are two different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like so I can't be held accountable. It's like, and I'm sitting here reading this and I'm like, yes, the stretch of relationship would be like, what's my guy's name? The Cincinnati baseball commentator that stepped in it big time.
Brennan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So like that, because we're an affiliate, you know, we run, you know, Reds games on our radio. It's like saying we're responsible for Brennan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or yeah, just like, no, yeah, your attachment is so loose and so long-stemmed. It's like, no, this conversation is ridiculous. This is, yeah, it's an asinine accusation / conversation, unless y'all are just like I said, unless you are trying to create something, manifest something. Okay, so then you have those. Man, we're at the top of the hour already. Listen, I was just getting warmed up. Go ahead and play us out, Nikki, because I don't want to get you behind in our reports. Did we get anybody on the phone lines? Did I miss anybody? Okay, yeah, you can go ahead and play us out because I'm going to have to reset this conversation. Listen, we're still going to do some housekeeping with Miami. We're still going to discuss what's at stake when we get back to actual, like, sports talk. But here's the thing. In the next hour, I am going to wrap up the NOA kind of moving forward. I spent an hour kind of going over the reading. And like I said, I don't know how exciting that was for you. I know we're all tired of talking about it, kind of tired of hearing about it. But it's a necessary evil, University of Louisville. Okay, so is there anything you want to add, Steve, on the play out?
No. I was listening. I mean, look, you said, I mean, yeah, it's a necessary thing. But, I mean, a lot of people are like Nicky. And, I mean, I'm not making fun of Nicky. I'm saying what he said by himself, man. I mean, a lot of people are looking at this from 500 yards away. So I think a lot of people, you know, you help break that down and know what's going on.
Rolling along, Middays with Marcus Babin on 939 The Ville.
Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coyle Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COYLE75. So visit COYLEDEALS.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COYLE75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coyle, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.